trade tensions, Brexit, the Me Too movement, and climate change. Today, we're reflecting on the past 12 months and finding out what's in store for investors in 2019. Welcome to Amplified, the Hermes podcast channel where we discuss the key issues, challenges, and trends shaping the investment landscape. I'm Ioan Murray, head of investment at the firm. With the festive season almost upon us, it's a good time to pause for breath and reflect on what's been a tumultuous 12 months. Trade tensions between the US and China have escalated, Brexit negotiations have intensified, populism has risen, major central banks are slowly withdrawing easy monetary policy, and the record-breaking 9-year bull run for US equities appears to have stumbled, with tech stocks suffering the most in the recent pullback. But there was also striking parallels between 1992's so-called Year of the Woman and 2018. That year, as in 2018, a surge of women candidates ran for office in the US and won. In Mexico, women have also won big in the July elections. And indeed, the significant electoral gains made by women this year followed the Me Too movement and mass protests against misconduct allegations. Meanwhile, extreme global weather events put climate change back in focus. Europe experienced record heat waves, flood-inducing downpours pounded parts of Asia, and most recently, California has been devastated by deadly wildfires. And in October, the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change warned that urgent and unprecedented changes are needed to keep global warming at a maximum of 1.5 degrees Celsius. After 12 months like 2018, what's on the horizon for investors in the new year? To find out, I scoured the office floor at Hermes and spoke with some of our experts. First, I spoke with Andrew Jackson, head of fixed income, and I began by asking him what were the key opportunities and risks for fixed income markets in 2019?
I'm going to be sort of classically neutral here and sit on the fence and say that I think there are a ton of opportunities out there. I think those opportunities are most likely in the less liquid parts of markets, where we're seeing bank disintermediation really driving the ability to lend to corporates that haven't been traditionally the purvey of asset managers. I also think the asset classes where you've seen baby with bathwater territory, like EM credit, is particularly attractive. But I also particularly like things that cover off risks. So I think it's difficult to identify anything specific within credit markets that is a really obvious risk. It was a lot easier to do that in 2006, 2007. But I think it is the time to find really cheap shorts, and I think options serve that purpose well. But I think there are other ways that you can be short in credit. I don't think credit will be insulated from a massive market sell-off when that occurs. But for now, credit looks like a relatively sanguine space.
So given that we are seeing a number of headwinds as we head into 2019, rise of populism, geopolitical risks and trade wars, if we see some form of market disruption, what sort of dislocation opportunities would you expect from the credit markets?
Well, normally when you look back over periods of extreme volatility and major drawdowns, one sees the opportunities most in spaces that have been previously highly levered. There clearly is leverage within markets, and there's definitely leverage within fixed income markets. It's actually quite tough to analyze exactly where it is, but I think probably the space where there has been leverage is really short-dated investment grade. So I think that might be an interesting opportunity should we see a major sell-off. I think there are other spaces such as syndicated level loans in the US and Europe where you've seen things move past where they would do historically and historical norms. But, you know, the traditional spaces, financials, I think look fairly robust. Areas of SME lending feel relatively robust on a debt service coverage ratio basis. And the easy ones, like the UK, you know, when we talk about Brexit, or Italy, they actually feel relatively well priced for downside. So it's not an easy question to answer, and I feel like I've ducked it a little bit, but there will be opportunities.
Away from the fixed income universe, it's been a rough year out there for emerging markets. And to discover more about the state of emerging markets as we approach 2019, I caught up with Gary Greenberg, head of global emerging markets. And here's what he had to say.
The news flow was dominated by crisis-stricken economies in emerging markets this year, Turkey, South Africa, Argentina. Where do you see investors focusing on in 2019?
I think those countries won't be the focus, although they're not going to be doing so well. The focus will be more on China, India, and Brazil. China investors will be focusing on tax cuts as a form of fiscal stimulus for the economy. In India, they'll be focusing on the elections, looking forward to five more years of reforms. And in Brazil, the elections have already taken place, so they'll be looking at the reforms that the new government's going to put in place. They'll also be focusing on the U.S., even emerging market investors will, looking at bond yields and the strength of the dollar, which are headwinds, continued headwinds for the emerging markets.
Gary, my experience tells me that when you have headwinds such as emerging markets have faced, opportunities arise for stock pickers. What do you see out there for 2019?
Emerging markets are a lot cheaper than they were at the beginning of 2018. Currencies have corrected a lot. And so as and when the U.S. economy begins to peak out and slow down, there will be a currency headwind in a lot of countries. In addition to that, valuations now in quality companies are very reasonable. So it's a stock picker's paradise right now.
Of course, it's not just emerging markets that have faced challenging macro and geopolitical headwinds this year. Global equity markets have too. So during my investment floor walkabout, I spoke with Louise Dudley, Portfolio Manager of Global Equities, and I began by asking her what impact she sees in regard to the top-down influences on global equity markets over the next 12 months.
Expectation from a macroeconomic perspective is that some of those headwinds that we've seen for 2018 will continue to be important going into 2019. The most crucial signals that we're really looking for are really around interest rate raises, particularly in the US, and also some of the global inflation numbers as well. However, we are cognizant that a lot of these top-down influences can be quite hard to anticipate. So it's really important to ensure from a risk management perspective that we're on top of those hidden risks, and using our multi-frame system that we have in-house helps us do that. At the same time also, it's important to be diversified. And so within our investment approach, where we're diversified across style, across region, across sector, we can ensure that we're not taking on any of those top-down risks and really getting exposure to those good long-term companies.
It feels like the stars are at last aligning for investors to take climate change seriously. How do you see that manifesting itself in your portfolios next year?
So for 2018, I think it was a really important year for climate change, where a lot of investors and companies really woke up to the living realities of seeing climate change coming into being and being a material impact for their businesses. We've also seen the launch of the TCFD recommendations and companies really stepping up to ensuring that they're meeting the demands of those recommendations. And so therefore, we've seen a lot better data, both from companies and from an investment perspective related to the financial opportunities as well. So that really helps us to make better decisions when it comes to assessing companies on carbon risk.
Our head of sustainable investing, Andrew Parry, also touched on the importance of climate change action when I caught up with him earlier.
Andrew, with politics around the world becoming increasingly polarised, what is the impetus of tackling the systemic issues of our time, such as climate change, stalling? And do you think that 2019 will be the year that investors and companies finally fill the void in policymaking increasingly left by governments?
Yeah, I think one of the most notable things over the last year has been the rise of interest in purpose, not just by investment managers who are reflecting the interests of their beneficiaries in actually investing in a much more purposeful, sustainable way, but also companies. And I've been reflecting on this, and why is this the case? I think it's because of this polarization that you mentioned in politics. Increasingly, people recognize, whether they're investors or companies, that the actual future of demand, the future of profitability, rests on actually having a much more sustainable, equitable, and resilient system. So I think business now is increasingly recognizing that these considerations that have been abrogated in many political regimes are actually there for the taking. They are an imperative for them to actually tackle, to have a long-term successful franchise.
What would you say will be the key sustainable investing themes for 2019?
Undoubtedly, global climate change is going to be one of the dominant themes. The recent IPCC report about the urgent action needed to limit global climate change to only 1.5 degrees is a wake-up call to everybody. Yes, we're all talking about it, but how much action is actually being taken? Very much now, investors and companies are beginning to reframe the way that they approach it. Increasingly, they're beginning to see that climate change is not some abstract future event, but something here and now happening in the real world as more extreme weather events occur and begin to impact businesses. The wildfires in California are an example of this. It wasn't just in California in the recent months that we saw this, but also all through 2018 across the Western Seaboard. For businesses and for investors alike, this is an event now about, and we need to take some urgent action.
And that was Andrew Parry, Head of Sustainable Investing. Indeed, sustainability is also a key theme in the real estate market. I spoke with Chris Taylor, Head of Private Markets, and began by asking him what his long-term approach to investment is as we look towards 2019.
A long-term responsible investor in real estate, and emboldened by our positive experiences from the King's Cross development, we increasingly challenge the conventional approach to benchmark hugging of buildings per se, which are based upon backward-looking parameters. And instead, we increasingly invest in sustainable places. These are places which adopt an holistic approach to regeneration, community engaged, typically with enhanced infrastructure, typically with great public realm and mixed use. And the important factor is not only having a positive impact upon the environment and society at large, but also contributing towards creating what we refer to as meaningful places, and this concept of the meaningful city. So thinking about not just those that work and play on the sites, the places themselves, but thinking about the broader community. And in this way, we can contribute towards our beneficiaries by not only delivering attractive financial returns, but also creating a better society and environment for them when they retire.
And finally, after a year dominated by geopolitical risks, we look at the macroeconomic landscape with our senior economist, Silvio Dell'Angelo. Arguably, economic growth has desynchronized and lost momentum in 2018. So when I spoke to Silvia in the office, I asked her, should we expect that trend to continue next year?
If we look at historical evidence, these episodes of divergence tend to be short-lived, and they typically last between 1 and 2 years. So it's absolutely conceivable that we'll see a more homogeneous picture for global growth reasserting itself at some point next year. Of course, the big question here is about the direction of the convergence. Whether it will be the U.S. to slow down towards slower growth rates, or whether it will be the rest of the world to pick up again.
Central banks globally introduced quantitative easing and other forms of unconventional monetary policy to save the planet back in 2008. What are they going to do next as they? It looks as though they're beginning a tightening cycle.
So central banks, major central banks, have started to gradually withdraw the extraordinary accommodative measures that they provided in the aftermath of the global financial crisis. The process has been led by the Fed since December 2015. At the start of the current hiking cycle, the Fed has increased rates 8 times. And at the same time, in October last year, the Fed has also started to normalize its bloated balance sheet. Going forward, the process will probably continue, but at a very gradual pace. And of course, because there are risks around the outlook for global growth, it is well possible that at some point the process, especially for the Fed, will halt. And I'm looking at around mid of next year for that to happen.
And as my brief tour of the office comes to an end, I'll leave you with my thoughts for 2019. I see three central themes. An increased focus on all things ESG, particularly climate change, as my colleagues have discussed already, further boosts to the cause of diversity and inclusion, and an end to the bull market in equities and bonds, 10 years into the former and more than 30 into the latter. Of course, we'll have to wait to find out. Until next time, I'm Johan Murray, Head of Investments at Hermes. Thank you for listening to Amplified.
Thank you for listening to the Hermes podcast. If you found it interesting and would like to listen to more podcasts by Hermes, please visit our website, hermes-investment.com, and search for podcasts. These podcasts are for information purposes only, and the views, information, or opinions expressed therein are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Hermes Investment Management and its employees. Performance should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. All the performance represented is historical. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future results, and investors may not recover the full amount invested.